Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
More than 100,000 people are expected to check out the newest video games and meet some of their electronic sports heroes.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanel here, still a little bit tired from a huge weekend of video game stuff. Mm-hmm. And Adam Knox, you're here.
I'm here. I'm still in my cosplay from PAX. Mm-hmm. I dressed as man who has to shop at a specialty store for his particularly sized clothing.
I came as Mr.
People going yeah.
I came as Mr. Big. Not that one.
Yeah.
Not the Sex and the City one.
Yeah. We did have a big weekend, though. We went to PAX Australia.
Yep.
Thank you to everyone who came along to our panel. It was very, very fun. Special thanks to our guests as well.
Yep.
Melanie Bracewell and Ruby Innes.
Yep.
Loose show this time.
Yeah. Loose show. We kind of did a bit of a recap of what we'd seen and played. We fucked around a bit. We had an idea for a bit right before the show started that it would be funny to have a video of Subway Surfers playing behind us for the entire show.
Yeah.
And
keep the Zoomers sort of attention.
Yeah. Halfway through, we took a poll in the room and reviews were mixed.
The Subway Surfers, I found it genuinely distracting, but then we turned it off and people were like, put it back on.
Put it back
we
on.
We turned it off and then three people left.
Yeah. But then they came back weirdly the second we turned it on. That's not even pretend.
Yeah, their sonar was just going off. Yeah, they could sense it.
It was a fun time at PAX there.
Yeah.
We saw a bunch of stuff there that we'll talk about. I didn't know about this at the time, but people, I think internationally as well, were like very convinced that Hollow Knight Silksong was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't. And they were fucking like that weird type of furious that you get confused by when you see people acting that way on the internet.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what, had some people like traveled out to be there to potentially play it?
I don't think that had happened, but I think it's been so long and it's in Melbourne and they're Australian and
blah, that would have been cool.
One of those theories where it's like, look, you've connected two separate facts and it's your fault.
Well, then at the Xbox account, but I think on like the not during it, I don't know what date, but the Twitter account for Xbox was like, what's your favorite type of song? Ours is Silk. Something like that.
Again, right. Yeah, real conspiracy stuff. Because it's like, if it's going to be there, they'll just tell you it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not going to be a secret.
unless they do a hi-fi rush and just pop it up one day. I could see them maybe doing that eventually.
At this point, yeah. And I mean, if it's going to be announced, if it's going to be properly shown off for the first time anywhere, it'd be at something like the Game Awards. It's not going to just show up on an expo floor. That being said, that would be the gnarliest way of dropping it. No announcement that it's even going to be there. You just rock up day one of PAX. The studio is just there. Yeah. They've got a huge booth and kept it secret. And it's just like, if you're the first one in the door, you can just get in line and have a go right
play the
now.
First
that
game.
Would be cool.
Play it all through. Yeah. Whoever gets here first plays the full game over all weekend.
If I was running PAX, I would be like, please don't do that. We've planned for capacities and things like that will fuck up the entire convention.
But you're right. I love the connecting of the dots of like, this account posted a song by Anderson .Paak and then they posted a song by Bruno Mars. Mm. They're in a band together called Silk Sonic. Silk Song. Hollow Knight Silk Song.
Well, to be fair, the Xbox one was definitely making a reference to Silksong.
Right.
But they were also, I think, doing it with a bunch of other games. They were just mucking around and being like, what's your favorite type of low? Mine is hay or whatever. Like, things that didn't make sense. But it's not crazy to think it might be there, but then when it's not, to be like, well, time to bomb Team Cherry.
Yeah.
I wonder if they did have, because it was talked about in the recent Unity thing, mm-hmm. engine of their pricing structure changing and everything, that was a game that got brought up as like, well, this has already been MIA for such a long time and clearly taking a long time to develop, and maybe they're going to have to now like shuffle all their work over to another engine, so it could be delaying it again. So right. I wonder if they did have like a couple of weeks there where they were like, well, moving work over to this engine, and now maybe they're back because the Unity CEO has stepped down.
Yeah.
Amidst all of that hubbub.
John Riccitiello, has left Unity. I'm sure after being shown the door.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's not enough. That, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where like, cool, but I doubt anyone is like, phew, back to normal now.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to see, like, yeah, because they said they're walking back that decision. It'll be interesting to see if all the people that were sort of threatening that they would jump ship and not use it because they've lost the trust in the company. It'll be interesting to see if even this like, you know, week where they were saying they were going to do that is going to affect them down the line, which I would imagine. Yeah. If you're a developer, you're like, well, we just can't trust these people.
Absolutely. Right. That's how I would feel like for years it will take them to.
And if you'd already started looking into like, hey, we got to get some people in that know how to use this other engine a bit better. Like, you're not gonna stop that process now. Like,
yeah. The with how rent and stuff is at the moment, for example, if a landlord floats like, hey, we're gonna put it up by $200 and then they're like, oh, actually we won't yet, you're still not gonna be like, oh cool, now I can live here forever.
Right.
Yeah, comfortable and happy.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I got the you've had this, Ben.
Mm.
Hey, we're gonna put your rent up. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, if this is a genuine question,
yeah.
I feel like I'd rather not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've done some research and there are other places that aren't as expensive as that. Yeah.
Counter offer, lower it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is once you realize that like by moving out, it's so much more work for them.
Yeah.
So you can play around a bit. It's like, hypothetically, what if I was to say, let's not do that? I kind of had a bit of I was Bugs Bunnying it up with my Elmer Fudd real estate agent when they dropped that on me at the start of the year. Just had this very annoying email chain with them, like 10 emails back and forth, like me going, yeah, I don't know. What if we didn't?
Their whole office being like, what do you think he means by wabbit seed? I don't. yeah, he's out. The other little bit of news, we'll talk about the stuff we saw at PAX, but might as well while we're here. Physically in
the news corner.
In the news corner. This morning, our time, they showed the new PS5 models.
Yes.
There's two of those slim ones, the same as the photos that leaked of them a while ago. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like that. It's like a touch shorter.
Yep.
And it has kind of a black line along the side because you can remove the side and attach the disc drive if you get the slim one.
Right.
And the price, weirdly, so they've set, like, the price is the same, and I think it's going up by $50 in the US, which matches the price increase that the rest of the world, I believe, had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they're all hovering around the same sort of, I don't know exactly the conversions to Australian, and I cannot figure out anything other than the one that I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're about the same price, and they've said that they'll just, once the PS5s they've made of this original version are gone, they're not making those anymore. This is just the replacement for the PS5.
Sure.
So they're not calling it a slim themselves or anything like that.
It's this a 2.0 or something,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It's like how just there was that model, kind of like quote unquote new model of Switch, like before the OLED, that was just like had a bit better battery. Like they just had like gotten a bit more effective with the parts they could get. And it was like, it's not a new model. It's just the new ones that are going into shops are just a bit more.
It's like that with a physical redesign
to it. Looks different, yeah.
And yeah, the disc drive thing is like, I guess cool because you can buy a digital one and then later on get the disc drive, which, yeah, I don't know how commonplace that will be.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like a thing that it makes sense from Sony's perspective of like, well, we can give them the option of that later, but once you've already got the digital one, you're going to start buying digital games. Mm-hmm. They're like, so who cares?
Sure. I think, mate, like, it's the kind of thing that at the end of the console's life cycle where there's like a bunch of pre-owned games available, it might be a smart financial thing to just be like, oh, well, I'll get the disc drive now and go to EB Games and get a bunch of second-hand
games. And if you
games,
like have a PS4 still, got the digital one, later sold your PS4, and then you could get the disc disk drive and play your PS4 games. So it's cool
to be there. It's better than just having a hard to get one with a disk drive and a digital one and that's it.
I still like...
Right, that aspect of it, the production issues that they... Yeah, that's true.
There was a... Again, I promise we'll only stay on this for 2 seconds. There's yet another Switch 2 apparent...
Two.
...rumor about... It's going to launch in two models, one with a cartridge slot and one without. One digital only.
Yeah. They're shooting for September of next year with November as a backup date.
And it's just so interesting to me. I know there's like a lot of people that are like, they're like, I'm so sold. I just want the digital only model. I never buy stuff physical. And I buy like 95% of stuff digital, but I'm still... I just still want that. Every now and then there's something that comes along where I'm like, not 100% if I'm going to be into this. I'll get it physical so that I can return it or sell it if I don't like it. I just like having that option.
I don't think this is so drastically the case in a bunch of other places as it is here, but physical versions of games are so much cheaper at launch anyway than the digital versions by like $30-$40 often. Yep.
Yeah.
So that aspect of it makes me always.
I don't know. Yeah. What other what the equivalent what the equivalent is in other countries of JB Hi-Fi smashing prices?
I don't think they smash prices elsewhere.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Let us know if you've got a if you live in a country that has a electronics retail chain that that's advertisements feature the sound of breaking glass every 2 seconds.
We're the most destructive company out there. We're destroying these prices and no one can stop us.
I remember being scared of JB when I was a kid when the ads would come on, just hearing the windows smashing every like 2 seconds.
Looking and around like, what? Yeah. They're coming for us.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's here.
It's all bright yellow. It's like, oh, this seems like a sensory overload, this shop.
This fucking wasp is angry at me.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the little bits of news. The PS5 thing I don't think is super interesting.
Yeah,
crazy.
We've talked about it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. I guess the other angle is that again, people connecting the dots, being like, well, that must mean the PS5 Pro is coming out, and I think that there's not really a need for it at this point.
I feel like we've maybe
in a year or two.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, I'm sure they'll do it because the PS4 Pro sold really well.
Yeah,
I wonder though if they get to a point where it's like the leaps in technology that they can make are just kind of not worth it, and it's better off to just hold off until the next numbered iteration. Especially when there's not too many games yet that exclusively use the 5. You know what I mean? We're still not at a point where I really feel like we're getting the most out of the 5 yet.
I agree, yeah.
When we still seem to be in like the manufacturing issue portion of history as well, which will surely get better.
Tune into the video episode for that one, folks. A beautiful bit of physical comedy from Adam Knox.
Olivia Newton-John style. We went to PAX. We saw a bunch of games there, bunch of local stuff, bunch of international stuff.
Great year this year. I was saying to you guys over the weekend, it feels like it's fallen at such a perfect time where there's a bunch of big stuff on the horizon that's close enough to be able to be demoed at PAX. Like I can't remember it there being a year where there was like enough big exciting new releases that it was like, oh cool, we get to line up and play this for, you know, the first time.
I don't know, I guess I didn't feel that way about this year either, where it, like the two, I guess because we'd already played Mario Wonder, that just wasn't on my radar.
Yeah.
And then the two,
but that's a big
of,
one.
It is a big one.
Yeah. That was like, that felt like it took up almost half of the expo floor. The Nintendo booth was huge. The first thing that you saw when you walked in the door was like, huge, huge screen hanging from the ceiling advertising Mario Wonder. And it was like kind of this massive booth right in the center of the floor. It really did feel like everything was kind of orbiting around that a little bit. And long lines to play it. People
it did feel like things were orbiting around the middle of the floor. To me as well.
I felt like things were orbiting around the indies, personally. Yeah. I know that that makes me a bit of a hero.
I actually think that the whole expo was flat.
But that was cool to see. Lots of people lining up to play a new Mario game. There was also a big booth for Sonic Superstars, which I lined up to play. Seems really fun. It's out in a few days. It felt good to me. It felt like a classic Sonic game. It's got all the... It looks a lot kind of better in motion than it does in the screenshots. The screenshots, to me, this game always looked a little like just sort of like the new Super Mario Brothers, like Sonic version, where it like didn't quite have that pizzazz that Wonder does. It's like a little bit of like a flat 3D like interpretation of a 2D Sonic game.
A little like one of those like Xbox 360 downloadable style thing. But that's cool to hear that.
But it was fun to play. They were very strict when I went in of like no photography and no video. Like it's a Sonic game that's out in a week.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm going to leak from this?
Dude, Tails is in this?
Whoa!
There was a big Lego Sonic as well, which looked pretty cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the other Sega one, which I lined up for with you as well, was Like a Dragon, The Man Who Erased His Name, which I tore that place apart and caused a fuss and started kicking and screaming because the second that we started playing The Man Who Erased His Name, the first thing that comes up is a subtitle labeled Kiryu. And then he starts talking.
Oh, no.
I screamed, false advertising.
But Adam, that's what happens in the game. You're learning how he erased his name. That's like the last thing, the final boss. Oh. It's like a video game in reverse. The last thing that comes up in the game is like a please enter your name, like the start of a JRPG. But the name's already filled out and you just have to push backspace a few times. And then that's like, congratulations, roll credits.
I have some hospitalized exhibitors to apologize to. But we played a bit of that, not the full demo because we went in towards the end of the show for and the very stressed man who was, you know, had been working all day, getting these crowds in, timing them out, making sure that there was enough space for everybody. Just right at the end, he just miscalculated slightly. We were kicked out after like 5 minutes. But in those 5 minutes, it seemed super fun. We've got all these gadgets now. It's back to the fighting style of Yakuza. Very fast and fluid. You've got gadgets tied to like each of the face buttons and holding R2 or something like that.
I think in all the other real-time combat ones, you can kind of switch fighting styles. So you can be like brawler or sword or whatever it is. And in this one, you've got a style called agent mode, which is the justification for you having all these little gadgets in combat is that you're basically James Bond.
You've got jet boots, which let you skate around, and I loved those.
Yeah, sick.
Quick, speedy. Because
you can just plow into a crowd of people and knock them down.
So good. Felt great. You've got like a whip that can gather a few enemies together and knock them down, stuff like that.
A spider web kind of thing, a drone. I can't remember what the other one was.
No.
I was like using my jet boots to kind of like smash through people and then get my little spider web and like whipping them up.
Yeah.
Wasn't really bothering with the drone. We're on
sort of like a casino barge, like a pleasure palace ship.
The demo was all set in this kind of one little area, and it says to you at the start, go do what you want. There's like a coliseum over here where you can do a deathmatch thing. You can go to the boutique and dress yourself up. I went in there and immediately dressed myself up like the Joker.
I bought some red chainmail.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So what is the premise?
I couldn't quite tell.
Is it that you're like a...
I couldn't quite tell how far into the game this specific slice was, and it makes sense why they would make this the demo, because it's like a little self-contained area where you can go and do any number of different things. Like you could just go in the demo and go to the casino and play cards. So it's like a good representation of what you're doing in a Yakuza
game.
You've
been recruited for this portion to be in their fighting tournament on this barge.
Okay.
And like a bunch of people show up and they're like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, I'm here to fight. And they're like, oh, prove it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But yeah, unclear.
I came here to do two things, chew bubble gum and erase my name.
And I'm all out of my name, so I'm done. it seemed fun. Seemed like Yakuza. It's insane how many of those games are coming out in a roughly 1 year period.
Yeah,
but this one seemed like a cool one.
And the cool thing was, for playing the demo, we got a little tote bag and a pin of the studio logo, Ryuga Gotoku.
Like a Dragon.
I've butchered that.
No, you said it perfectly, but slowly.
But their vibey little logo that comes up at the start of all the games.
I put the stickers in that of that logo in all the games as well. They love that little logo.
Because I played the... for playing the Sonic demo, I got a Sonic Superstars pin, which is just the logo of Sonic Superstars, which to me felt like such... I was like, this is such a...
Yeah.
This is so weak.
Give me the hog.
Yeah. But then a day later, I'm getting a logo of not even the game, the developer of the game, and I'm like, this rules.
Yeah, this is better.
This is cool.
I would have preferred a Sega logo, to be honest, though.
Totally.
That's a sick pin, but they want to advertise the game.
Yeah.
I played a few Australian ones that... we're pretty early on. You know what I'm not great with? Proper nouns. I'm a real casual guy. I love a casual noun.
You've mentioned them to us If you describe them,
yeah,
maybe they'll come.
One
to
of them
me.
Starts with a D. It's an adventure game. I think it starts with a D. Your
The Drifter.
That's the one.
Yes.
It nice. Starts with a T, I guess. Technically,
I was paying attention during our PAX panel.
Not me.
I bootlegged it and listened back to it.
The Drifter, very Monkey Island, early 90s looking.
Yes.
Adventure yeah. game sort of thing, with like more of a serious tone.
Mm-hmm.
The demo part that I played. You're sort of returning to your town after a number
drifting
of
around?
Years. Some would call it that. You're in okay. a train, in a train carriage.
Oh,
doing
hell
proper
yeah.
classic.
Riding the rails.
Yeah. Oh. It looks like a Monkey Island, yeah, visual style, but if the story and everything was like a Stan original movie starring Ben Mendelsohn.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
and you've
yeah.
got Australian voice actors doing all of this stuff
right.
in Koala Island. And it seemed cool. I like adventure games.
I like adventures.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's... I think it's on Steam Next Fest as well, the demo, because I think yeah. I have seen this since PAX.
Yes, this other one was too, called Ascend, something like that, Ascending, Ascender, Ascend, something to do with Ascend,
mm-hmm.
Where you are, it's a side-scrolling thing, pretty cool-looking sort of half-pixel, half-3D art, and you're guiding a soccer ball through the level,
oh,
a big soccer
okay.
ball, and so you're doing platforming, but the platforming is... headering the ball or kicking the ball.
Is it? Oh, I know right. what it's called. Ascend It Like Beckham.
That's a way better name. You've just sent a bunch of people back to the drawing
yeah.
board. And but you're going out of hell and the soccer
oh,
ball
ascending
is
Ascending Inferno?
That's the one.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
This is so helpful.
Yeah.
Dude, teamwork really does make the...
Dream
podcast
go good.
That's it. So it was a really cool idea that I don't think they'd figured out the controls quite yet.
Right,
for. It
right.
felt just awkward enough, and there were just enough holes in the wrong places that it was a bit frustrating to play.
Right.
But
well, I mean,
it,
that's
a very
the,
cool
yeah,
idea.
That's
yeah.
the thing that I kind of, yeah, with PAX this year, I was like pumped to go and make a bit more of an effort to explore the indies, and it is cool. Like half of it is just these tiny little booths, some of them only like two people who've worked on this game, and some of them you'll play and they'll have a, you know, a QR code to mm-hmm. wish list it now on Steam, and they'll have a date saying, oh, it's out, you know, November 6th. And then other games you play and you're like, this is cool, and you're talking to the person at the booth and you go, oh, when's this coming out, and they're like, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I played a game called Hello World, which is a mobile game by, yeah, I think, again, Melbourne developers. And that was really sick. The art style is very cool. It's almost like a more, less pixely East, what was it called?
Oh,
Eastwood?
Wood? Yeah. Like that style, but a bit more like cartoony, not so much like, you know, Super NES throwback.
Mm-hmm. Kiryu would never be able to erase his name if he was on a podcast. Everyone else would jump in and help him out whenever he'd forgotten it.
Kiryu. Oh, nearly there. Oh, damn it. I was
no,
so
don't
close.
Say it.
I was so close to completing my mission.
And this was like a sort of grid-based overworld where you're like sort of fighting people, getting resources, building things up, unlocking things. And then the weird mechanic was... you like integrate, so you have like a player character, and then you'll be like, if you've got enough dinosaur bones, you can integrate stegosaur mode, and you add like spines on your back.
Oh, cool.
And so you see like this transformation of this, like, yeah, again, like interesting illustrated sort of art style.
Yep.
And that was like, this is our first build of the game.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So like this is, and like they've made other games, it's not a brand new studio, so you know, it's, and their Facebook page for it is showing like, they're posting videos every few days.
Oh, cool.
Like, you're really seeing the development progress.
It's
but
interesting
yeah,
being
it's like,
at
I don't
something,
know when it'll come out.
Yeah, it's interesting being at something like this and seeing just kind of all these games, all these new indie games kind of all side by side and being able to get this really interesting window into like design principles that are all of a sudden really popular in a
right.
number of games all at once, and also like visual styles that have all, and it,
yeah.
it's like, I wonder, because there's, you know, there's like a few of these games that you see all side by side and they sort of get lost in the mix, and you do wonder
yeah.
like if it's a thing where you turn up to a convention like this and you look around and you're like, because you've been working in a bubble and you're like, this feels really cool, and you know, it's like, oh, we're working on these influences that we really like, and then you get there and you're like, oh, everyone's kind of drawing from the same well.
What do you mean there's multiple cozy roguelikes?
Yes.
Yep.
And
so
there
that,
were, I think there were more, like multiple pixel art, like hell themed things as well.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Trends bizarre in the way that they influence people like that. Like, it really is. Because you played one that I just kind of watched over your shoulder.
Yeah, I played Cuisinia, which is a little game where you move back to your hometown, your parents have owned a restaurant.
There's another one.
Yeah, classic.
I guess COVID made people.
Your parents have left this restaurant to you, so you're in the town, you're trying to set up the restaurant, and then you're doing dungeon crawler levels to get resources to go back to the town to make things for the restaurant. It's Call to the Lamb, and I loved that game. It was very popular, and it just playing this, I was like, oh, okay, we're gonna start to see
like Dave the Diver a bit
totally
too,
like, it was like, oh, this was such a unique thing bringing these two together. And then nothing in video games is a unique thing for very long.
It's
maybe within a year, there's, especially with indies, like, dozens and dozens of sort of, I mean, knockoffs seems unfair, but this was giving me that same flavor of Cult of the Lamb.
It's the way it works with games in particular. We've talked sort of about this subject before, and I'm really interested in it because of the stark difference you feel in the attitude towards it in games versus comedy, which is like that the idea of plagiarism is not viewed the same way at all in games.
Where comedy, like, or anything, really.
Yeah. Plenty of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, with movies and things, like, I suppose you do get, like, you know, after Snakes on a Plane or whatever, you get The Meg or...
Yeah. There's influences that are, like, once it's, like, a generation past and it's like, oh, we're looking back on, you know, people who have retired and we're influenced by them, but then you get Joker, which everyone was like, it's just Taxi Driver. You know, like, there are still those glaring examples.
And just mechanically, it's like, what's the difference between a genre and a
format or whatever. There was actually, I tried to remember this on the weekend, and I think that we just thought it was Cult of the Lamb. I think it was called Battle Chef.
Okay.
There was a Battle Chef Brigade years ago. Do you remember that one?
Was that, it wasn't years ago because it was during the podcast runtime. It was a game where you went out and played
while we were doing the podcast.
Maybe it's that
Battleship Brigade. Yeah,
maybe it's that
anime style.
Yeah.
You'd go out and do fights,
and you'd go back and be a chef.
That was kind of that, and it. Yes. Yeah, that's funny that I liked that game.
Me too.
When Cult of the Lamb came out, I wasn't like, oh, they've ripped it. Just kind of disappeared from my memory.
Yeah. But that was the one I was trying to think of. That Cuisinier is like, obviously, most closely.
It looked cool though.
It did,
and I guess with Battleship Brigade, it wasn't, those battle bits weren't roguelite.
No.
Which is like I guess that's kind of the difference with Cult of the Lamb and this, is that it's those other bits are like a genre all to themselves that they've kind of merged together. But this game was fun. It had a really cute style. It's very kind of like cutesy anime little animals running around. Yeah, I liked it. I'm keen to play more of it. Although, Cult of the Lamb just really hit with me in how it felt, how it looked. That, I mean, I think it's going to be like, big shoes to fill for something to be doing kind of all that same kind of stuff and like hit for me in the same way, especially so soon after Cult of the Lamb, which had such a great personality to it. But Cuisinia is out in November sometime, early November, I think. So it's pretty soon. There probably is a demo of it up on Steam, I would imagine.
I think there are all of these.
Yeah.
Right.
I also played a game that is being developed in Melbourne called Tales of Aralla. I hope I'm saying that correctly. You play as a little turnip man. Their big thing in this that I've seen online too is that all the characters have big old booties. So your little turnip, he's got a very detailed
the
little
big ass
bottom,
game.
Big old ass. I mean, all that's right. The thing, right? Like in video
real
games,
stimpy looking turnip.
Yeah. In video games, like you have a character that's got like a cool vibey design, but then you know in a third person game, you're just looking at their back for most of it. Mm. Give me something for the view back
give
here.
Give me something for daddy.
Dude, you're gonna love Blood Rain. There's games for you. Don't worry, man.
But you arrive on this island. You've been given a job as the new postmaster, and you get given a sack of letters to deliver to different houses on the island, and the letters will have a little visual clue on them as to which house they have to go to. So there'll be like, you know, a feather on the envelope. So all right, well, I guess I'm looking for a house where a bird lives or something like that. It seems it's like a little RPG-ish kind of thing.
Some of them have the address on the front and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I'll look for
decipher this code first.
But it seemed cool. I think this was one of the ones where I asked them, when's this, you know, do you have a release date? And they didn't have anything kind of concrete yet. So I think there's a couple of little things about it that they're still clearly working on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seemed I liked the style of it. The visuals are great. It's kind of like very cartoony character design, but then the environment had this really nice, like, very like Australian bush looking kind of aesthetic to it. Not quite realistic, but like more realistic than the character designs, which I really liked that sort of merging of.
Yeah, there was a couple. Obviously, the Drifter leans into being Australian. Aralla sounds like an Aussie town name. Yep. There were a few of these that actually.
And I think they mention in there, I think I saw a bit of text in the game that does mention that it's an like it's in Australia. It's island off the coast of Australia, which was cool. I'm keen to see more of this. And it's cool that it's like a small Melbourne team. I bought a little pin from them.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I'm doing my part to help them along. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by the fine folks over there at Manscaped.
Proudly brought to you by Manscaped.
A little bit of showbiz on that one.
Razzle. Razzle dazzle.
Dazzle. You took the words right out of my mouth. Yep. Like I've taken the hair right out of my face and balls with, well, not out, just half off.
Yeah.
With Manscaped.
Hair right off of my balls.
Must have been while I was having pretty good shaving products.
Yep.
They work really well, Manscaped. Yeah. You know, they've sponsored us for a while and we've had a fair amount of opportunity to use their products as a result. Mm-hmm. And I can continue to vouch.
Yes.
Yeah. Took that leather carry case overseas with me. Oof. Held up beautifully. It's waterproof as well.
Everyone at the airport being like, a celebrity must be walking through. Look at that case.
Use the code FILTHY is what I told them. If you want products like these with a healthy discount, you go to manscaped.com. Use the code FILTHY. When you check out, when you buy, say, the Lawnmower 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
You could do. The beard hedger.
The weed whacker.
2.0.
Mm. And more.
Yep.
Yeah, put in that code FILTHY at checkout. You get 20% off your order, which is a ridiculously good deal for something that you need in your life.
And Ben, you're not done yet.
You get free steak knives. You don't get free steak knives. You get free shipping, which is incredible.
The modern day steak knife.
Yeah, shipping. I wonder if you could cut a steak with these things. Don't try it. Just use it on your hair.
Hey, you could shave a steak.
Yeah.
Manscaped, use the code FILTHY, 20% off and free shipping. We're also brought to you this week by NordVPN.
Mm, yeah. My favorite VPN on the market. I used to use it before they were clients of ours, which lets you know that I just genuinely like it. But they are a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We get to spruik them on our show.
Yeah, we get the privilege.
Yes.
It's a high quality VPN. You can use it on pretty much any device you'd be looking to use it on. They've got very simple and functional and reliable apps in my experience.
Yes.
And they offered you a reasonable, pretty damn good cost, if I don't mind saying so myself.
Mm. We're talking on the main episode about going to PAX. You can cosplay on your computer as someone from another country.
Ooh la la.
Yeah.
I am from the UK.
I would like to watch the BBC.
It's not cultural appropriation. It's just using a VPN.
That's just being safe.
That's my motto.
You keep yelling that at music festivals that you're wearing.
In courts of law.
They love it. It's a tribute.
Yeah. But you can use like a double VPN thing is one of the things they do where you're sort of like double hidden.
Double agent.
There's like a one through like an onion network, which is even more private.
All sorts of functionalities on there that you can explore for yourself. If you go to nordvpn.com/filthy and hitting that page will give you 4 free months when you sign up for a couple years too.
Yeah.
Which it's a service you want to have and it's the one that we recommend you have. NordVPN. Filthy is nordvpn.com/filthy.
Say it faster.
Speaking of small indie teams, I played a little demo from like these developers that I'm not sure if this is their first game, but I played the beta of it. It's called Modern Warfare 3.
It must be the third in a series, I guess?
Well, it's technically the second, I would say, just because this game is a fucking expansion.
I've never thought of you as being a long-distance runner, but my lord, that was a huge run-up. I loved it.
You've never thought that? That's how humans hunted for years. Dead. I played the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 beta,
right,
which was on over the weekend too. The first of, I think, four.
Okay.
And this was the one where, like, I think it was just PS5, and if you'd pre-ordered it, which don't bother putting me through an IQ test because I did that. It's crazy that they're making this. So this is the one that all the signs last year were like, they're going to do an expansion for Modern Warfare 2. They're not doing a full game for the next one. It's going to be some maps and a campaign DLC. And that is what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And they have changed it to just seem as though it's a full game. This is not, as of this point, with the multiplayer I played, because all of the maps that are in the multiplayer for this new game, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, are the maps from the original 2009 Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
They're redone.
Yeah, see, right.
But they're the same.
I didn't even know this existed, and honestly, that feels great.
I've seen banners, ads, and shit for it on, you know, whatever platforms. Call of Duty at this point is background noise. It might as well have been an ad.
Anytime
for
I see an ad.
Here is the background noise that it sounds like too. Grenade. Because there's some bug or something now.
God.
Where
really?
Everyone's yelling multiple things all of the time for anything that happens. They're like, grenade, get grenade. It's so weird that they have that problem in a game that they have already developed.
Anytime I see an ad on like a bus or a tram for a Call of Duty, I always just assume that it's like, from like 4 years, you know, when you see like a tram with like an ad for Tom Gleason's comedy festival show from like 2018 that's just still driving around because no
one's bought
the space.
Somewhere in like North Melbourne or Docklands or somewhere, there's that Jurassic Park 1 poster that is still up from like 93.
Yeah.
I love seeing that thing. But
I just always think like, oh yeah, that's a bus that hasn't been updated for like 5 years. It couldn't possibly be another new one out.
Well, if the ads on the bus stop are anything like this new game, they have just put one more strike mark next to the two to increase this to three, because you download this beta and
21.
It is literally doesn't matter. I'm not gonna.
It's my favorite rapper, Three Savage.
You download it as just like it downloads as a part of. They changed in August the name on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 on all of the platforms to just be Call of Duty. Like they're doing all of this soft transfer to like Call of Duty is just a platform like Fortnite or whatever, which like makes sense for the way that those games are and like they could do, but this is the weirdest way to go about it, where it's like sort of not. Modern Warfare 2 is still technically that game, but then this is Modern Warfare 3 as one menu block inside of Modern Warfare 2.
Right.
God, it's great that even being pretty tapped into video games, there's still a corner of video games that you can listen to and feel like...
Yeah.
Your auntie listening to you just describe Mario.
And you go into it for the first time in a while and some cutscene plays and you're like, who the fuck are these? And then like Nicki Minaj is there and you're like, when did she turn
up?
Okay,
I'm back in. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's like whatever the last one I played or maybe it was the free one where it was like Warzone's here.
Yeah.
And like maybe it was the Black Ops Cold War 2 or whatever it was.
Warzone. Okay, so... Well, actually, no, we don't have time.
But it was like one launcher that had like a bunch of things in it.
So Warzone, like the Hitman thing, right?
Warzone was a part of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019 and it was free, but you just downloaded that game still.
Right,
couldn't play the campaign and the multiplayer. They would just be grayed out
download
Warzone. Yeah. And it's all still a bit like that. And then like for the last few, you've been able to like jump into the other games from in the new game or whatever. So if you had Vanguard, you could... click on Black Ops Cold War from within that.
Okay.
But then it would just kind of awkwardly close and launch up the other game on the PS4 and 5 at least. So anyway, this is Modern Warfare 3 now. But Modern Warfare 3 2023 is the maps from Modern Warfare 2 2009. And it's weird. And it kind of like...
What the hell are they doing over there?
It plays the same as Modern Warfare 2, but like the... they've increased the health of everyone, so the time to kill is a little bit higher, which I actually quite like.
Yeah, yeah.
You get it from that point on. Honestly, like,
yeah.
I'm interested to see what the campaign is like. What level of because I didn't like the one from the last game. I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I still involved in this?
And also, this is part of a court case at the moment. You know what I mean? Like...
Well, not for long.
Well, they've nearly done it. And they said about this one and whatever the other, I guess Diablo 4, like they won't be on Game Pass straight away, or these ones won't be. But we're looking to bring all of Activision's fantastic games to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this should have been that DLC. It's like reprehensible that they've
so it's full price.
Shifted it in this way. It is slightly cheaper than what is now full price. It's $109 Australian rather than $125, which is what things often cost.
Yeah,
unless you buy the fucking crazy version, which has some bullshit in it. So it's there will also be a zombies mode when it comes out.
Oh yeah.
And it look Call of Duty is fun, and I enjoy the way that those games feel for the most part. That it does certain things in a way that other games don't. Whether it's better or worse, it's that you only really get it in that way from that one. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And but the Call of Duty industrial complex is just ridiculous.
It's a mess, and like it is so normal these days. It's similar to like Destiny 2 or something where like,
yes.
Well, Destiny 2 is no longer Destiny 2. You literally can't play the shit that was Destiny 2 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of thinking the same way as that, I assume. But like, Overwatch have a clean fucking break.
Thing. Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Have a Counter-Strike 2 came out last week and that just replaced Go. And so now Counter-Strike Go doesn't exist. It's called Counter-Strike 2.
Right.
But they just wanted to move the engine. All these, there must be, because so many people are doing it this way, is a business reason for keeping it locked in this strange framework awkwardly.
Right.
That you're building upon. But it Anytime would be so brand... much better as someone who's coming to it to have a clean break, which maybe they'll do after this, and they should, of just, now we have a game called Call of Duty, and every year there's a $100 expansion or whatever, which is still fucking ridiculous. I don't know, man.
Anytime, like, the brand has the sub-brand that's then, you know, when it's like Call of Duty 10, Modern Warfare 7, Black Ops 4, you know, like, once you're getting, like, deep into, like, the sub-brand being numbered, it's it's time to wipe the slate. It's time to just knock it all back and just start clean.
Yeah.
But, you know, from all those documents and stuff from the court cases and all the numbers we've seen, Call of Duty represents 95% of the video game industry You know, like, so, it's a bizarre one. I don't think the reaction to it is going to be positive when it shows up. But, yeah, I spent a bit of time shooting people.
Okay.
And, do you feel like a big man?
Dude.
Are you winning, son?
Honestly, my dad was wrong. That's what I... so it was... I don't think... This isn't the time when Call of Duty is doing something that anyone who's not already beholden to that curse is going to become interested.
Right.
You know?
Yep. I played Skate Bum.
Oh, PAX?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did too.
How's that little Ollie World looking ass?
Very simple version of a 2D skateboarding game.
Is this like that Tails game, Skate Bum? You getting a look at the little heinies as you're skating around?
No, because it's 2D.
Oh.
Unless they got a real dumper. It was fun. It was creative and interesting and like kind of simplified. Felt like an arcade game almost. Like real throwback. You know, you're going through, you're collecting coins and like very, very, you know, arcadey and fun. And I mentioned to you guys during our panel, a baby was playing it next to me and was playing it all right.
Okay.
So
that's good.
It for ages, 8 months to 88 years, I guess, one of those games. But another Aussie game, I think it was a Melbourne game and worth keeping an eye out for if it pops up on Steam or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Good time.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming out.
I've
been playing much new this week. We're about to get really slammed with new releases, so I'm trying to. I still haven't quite finished off Tears of the Kingdom, which I realized was ridiculous. I was holding it at arm's length because I'm like, I just never want this to end. Done all the dungeons and was just like, all right, it's time. I'm just going to walk to the like final bit, do things that catch my eye on the way. Got that last dragon tier, did the last little bit of that story. And I'm just like, all right, I'm going to just do that in the next week. And then, because basically from now, it's about to get insane for the next
There's
little
heaps
while.
Of shit. I really want to squeeze in Alan Wake somewhere because I want to play Alan Wake 2.
Mm.
And I can't play 2 without having played 1.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so you can squeeze in 1,
2
honestly.
Is bigger than 1. Yeah. I can't. Yeah, so
when's 2 out?
Like the 27th, something like that.
Jesus. Fuck. These motherfuckers.
Life's so difficult.
Whoa. I we were having a talk on up after the PAX panel. We were having a beer and talking about like, oh, what a great year, and there's still so much more to come. And we were like listing everything and then like forgetting things and being like, oh yeah, and this too. And then when I got home, I remembered like 4 more other things. Like, there's all these games where you just go, oh, you poor cunts. Like, you know, I'm excited for that Avatar game that's out at the end of the year because my girlfriend loved the Harry Potter game. She loves Avatar. So I'm like, this could be the next one that she gets into. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, like, if it wasn't for that, like, very specific personal reason to go in on it, it's out in December too, which is just like such a cursed time to bring things out anyway. I'm like, for such a big property, it's like, I feel like that thing is just going to fly under the cloud for so many people.
Well, I want to big up a game that I don't want to fly under the cloud for people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let me get in my cloud busting era. The internet's ruined my ability to string together sentences because all these words that shouldn't exist just show up.
You don't
want
to fly under the cloud, so you want to get a Virgin Galactic flight.
Sure.
Go up into the stratosphere.
I want everyone to be able to see, clouds or no, this game I played and demolished over the last few days called Chants, Chants, mm-hmm. of Senna.
Chants of Senna.
Chants of Ayrton Senna. Mm. It's
where
not,
was this developed? Do you know?
No idea.
It can't have been Australia because it would have been called Chants of Yenna.
Oh, my God.
Fuck. Oh. Yeah. oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
What's the chant of Senna? Tits out for the boys. Tits out for the boys.
I don't want you to disrespect this game. That's good.
So this has been on my radar for a while. I got the demo a while ago. I just have not gotten around to opening it up. But I remember hearing, when it dropped, a lot of praise for this.
Yeah, it's only been out for like a few weeks, I think, early September. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
It's a game about...
I guess it's a month now.
It's an adventure game.
Mm.
You're going through a sort of foreign land where you don't speak any of the multiple languages that you will come across whilst traversing this place.
Again, mm-hmm. very relatable as an Australian. Yes. Going to another land. Should I learn any of the dialect?
You shout as loudly as you can. So you're...
why are you there? Is it like a mystical, magical... Okay.
You're not sure. There's a bit of a mystery going on. It's just, it's wordless other than the languages that you don't know.
Right.
If that makes sense. So there's lots of words, but there are written languages with all these symbols.
And they're made up for this game.
Yes.
Right.
And you are... doing adventure game things like finding items and using them on other items, mm-hmm, and things like, mm-hmm. that through it. But you're also having to decode these languages as you go through so that you can understand what people are saying, what things mean. And so you've got a little journal that as you go around and see more stuff, your character will fill in little drawings of concepts and objects and things like that,
okay.
that you will then have a little circle next to it, and you'll be getting these symbols as you go on the other side of your sort of menu that you're trying to fill in what the meaning of these symbols are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can write down just with your keyboard a guess at these things. So you can click on the thing and be like, I think this one means friend, something like that. And then it'll turn out, no, it meant please leave. And you're like, damn it, man. Wow. My social radar is way off, even in this game. It looks beautiful. It's got a really great sort of that animated sort of cel shady looking.
Kind of sable-y, right?
Sable-y, roller-dromy,
And that looks great. The music is really lovely underneath. The puzzles are really engaging. And the way that it constructs these languages, which each have sort of different grammatical rules that you'll be having to figure out and then translate between different people at some point, so you'll really have to understand, like, well, the subject of the sentence comes at the start in this one, and then so on.
Mm-hmm.
Some languages will maybe have a symbol that pluralizes a word, but some maybe will like do it a different way. Figuring out all of that stuff feels so natural and engaging. It feels so like organic as you're going through. It's a real awesome and pretty unique way of doing this adventure game that is like a pretty standard adventure game underneath it, you know, mm-hmm. like in Monkey Island again, that type of adventure. Mm-hmm.
I think you were saying that it's a bit like the Curse of the Golden Idol, where it's like it's not holding your hand at all. Like when you solve something, you're like, I did this 100%. I didn't get like a nudge in the right direction.
A lot of it is that you can, once you're down to only having a few, because it gives you all of the symbols and it gives you all of the possible slots they could go in.
Right.
So similar to, I guess, Golden Idol yeah. as well. But once you run down to a few, you can kind of piece it together even if you weren't actually sure.
Yeah.
Right.
But for the majority of it, it's this really cool and interesting process of figuring out these languages. And each time you go to a new area and come across a new language, it's exciting.
Yeah, right.
You get
yeah,
to do cool. it all again. And it has a bunch of great ideas through it, a bunch of really interesting ways of giving you this information that you need throughout the course of the thing. It ends up having like kind of a cool story going underneath it. I really enjoyed it.
I would love it if the end of this was, you know, it's like you're piecing together and doing your little drawings and being like, oh, where am I? This mysterious. And then it's like the reveal at the end is you're in Paris.
Yeah.
Royale with cheese. Just doing a little drawing and being like, this man seems to really enjoy this. What could it possibly be?
Beret?
It's
with a T.
These people are savages with the way they communicate.
I couldn't recommend this game. Oh, well, I could recommend it. It's good. I do recommend it.
Yeah,
though.
Cool.
Have a look. I don't know if there's a demo or anything like
there
that.
There is.
There is, yeah. There is, yeah. I assume there's still. I mean, that's, yeah, I've had the demo sitting there for ages. But
the other day, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right. It's not super long. I think it was about 8 hours or something all cool. up for me.
That's great. Right, for
the
that
perfect
kind of,
length.
Yeah, yeah.
And
people
yeah.
getting mad that apparently Spider-Man 2 is like 30 hours to 100%. Mm. And I was like, man, I could not have a more opposite response to this quote-unquote issue.
Yeah.
That has made me so much more pumped for it.
For whatever reason, the Spider-Man crowd seemed to have a particular problem with weird stuff. Like, that puddle isn't there like it was
yeah,
in the demo.
Yeah, yeah.
That.
Weirdly, though, I want Mario Brothers Wonder to be 500 hours long. but Spider-Man 2, I'm like, just a sweet 2 hours would be great, honestly.
Mm. Well, if you can tear yourself away from Mario at some point this year, I reckon Chance of Senna is pretty darn good and a very clever and different. I kind of ended up wishing there was a bit more of the translation stuff. You do it a little bit.
Okay.
But it was like the most sort of complicated and interesting part of it in some ways. Because
right.
once you've got an understanding of the symbols, it will automatically translate what people are saying for you. So
right,
the symbols will be
right.
something like I'll just make up a pretend one. Dog bites man. Right, you'll have a word, a symbol for dog, mm-hmm. a symbol for bite, and a symbol for man, and then it will go, the dog has bitten the man. It'll write it out as that, and so format it more in English
sure.
for you. So then figuring out how to, so you have to sort of translate when you're translating between people from English to the symbols,
mm-hmm.
to the other symbols, to what they would actually mean to English speakers.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's fucking engaging. It's really cool.
I'm going to play it. Maybe,
yeah, me too.
Maybe even later today.
God damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the fucking shit out of this.
You guys might have a problem with the language part of it. it's really cool. Chance of Senna.
Cool. You were saying you've also played a little bit of Forza Motorsport.
I drove around a bit.
Which is out now on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And also someone, I can't remember where this was, someone had a crack at us for pronouncing Forza with a T.
Oh, yeah.
And then a lot of people leapt into our defense to
yes.
say that's their accents.
Yep. Heroes.
This is a real Mario issue.
No, it's not.
It's an Italian word.
When you start the game, the first thing it says is, welcome to Forza Motorsport.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's very, it's...
Forza.
That's wrong. it's a car simulator. It is like Flight Simulator was to planes. This is to cars. This is nothing like Horizon.
Yeah, it's like Gran Turismo.
It's got even slightly less personality than the game you correctly pronounced of Gran Turismo.
Thank you.
Where you're not doing the sort of quirky cafe stuff or anything like that.
Right.
It's a very... This is a simulator of driving. Which
it feels like the kind of like the Western developed version where it's all the same level of realism and driving but without the like weird... Yeah, the Japanese like quirkiness of like, yeah, you get your missions from a cafe.
I mean, it feels like it was developed in some ways. This isn't meant to be as much of a knock as it might sound, but by the same company that makes Excel. You know what I mean? It's got big rectangular boxes for what you want to do. But from that perspective, it is a very good seeming one of that type of game. It's not really my thing to simulate it. Yep. It's got a bit of like the RPG type of thing where you're building experience for each different car that you have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Similar to how like Sega GT 2002 did it.
I love that. The idea of your car leveling up.
Yeah.
It feels good. And so you can tweak so much shit. The difficulty on really similar to how you can in Horizon, like you can change the amount of the driving line that you see when you're auto braking. You can change the difficulty of the drivers and you get more or less experience based on where you're setting these sort of difficulty factors. You can let it automatically upgrade your car and stuff for you. You can go in there and be like, no, I know what fuel injector to use and then get it complete. I remember messing around with the tuning stuff in Forza Horizon 5 and making my car undrivable.
Yeah, I might sit my dad down in front of this. It sounds like this could be the thing that radicalizes him and gets him into games. Because when I'd been playing Horizon 4 for a little bit and I'd gotten like an old Bentley and then dad was around and I was like, check this out. You're driving around Scotland in an old Bentley. And he's like, oh my God. And I didn't even know yet.
I do have a son.
I hadn't fucked around yet with the like really being able to get under the hood and do all that kind of stuff. So like, yeah, I should download this. And this and Flight Simulator, I reckon it'd be his shit.
And I think this is sort of the idea with this sort of half reboot of Forza Motorsport as the series is that this will then be the thing that just stuff gets added to.
Yeah.
Because you don't really need more than this. If you are doing a racing simulator, then you can put tracks and cars in here.
Yeah.
See you later. We're
done. Yeah. And Horizon, it's like you need a new map. So it's like that stands to reason that should be a whole more new challenge. Game. Yeah.
And I'm certainly not missing all of the fucking shitheads talking to you that there are. Oh, that's Horizon right.
Are you ready
well?
To take a drive?
That was
all right, mate. You're the best driver I've ever fucking seen.
That
God,
was
you're
like
good
I said
driving.
Last week about getting, or last week or the week before about getting, buying Horizon 5 on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
To play on the Steam Deck and like my progress not carrying over, which I was prepared for. But the worst bit of that is like all that shit at the start of like, here we are, oh, who's this little laddie's driving around Mexico?
Is that a bloody airplane?
And there's
over
no
there?
Skip button. I'm like, get me into racing, please.
Yeah. So this is the dry simulation version of that, which you expect. So I'm probably not going to be spending that much time with it personally. Mm. But for the people who this is for, it seems like it's very well made. It looks awesome.
Seems like a great thing for showing off the hardware too.
Oh, man. It like the shit they can do with computers these days. Mm.
So that's a recommendation for Forza Motorsport.
Forza Motorsport. Yeah. I will mention that I finished Armored Core 6. It's fucking great. Mm-hmm. I think I've failed to mention at any point. The story has branching paths. There are certain decisions that you can make along the way to align with factions or whatever that fully change the missions that you do. And the ending is 100% dependent on the choices you make. I think I got the bad ending just from going with my gut.
That makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
You just
going
prompt
with the flow. Really.
Would you like to put your dick in the tailpipe of this mech? Yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
My
gut
future, is
brother.
Telling me yes.
Can't see any issues in the future. I will say it immediately dumps you back into New Game Plus. And I'm excited to do that. I did have to be like, no, you got to try and play some other games. Because it's like, I love it. It's fantastic.
It's so built around replaying all of those missions that are in there. And
totally.
Getting new shit from doing that.
Yes, approaching them different ways. And like, you get rankings. Like, people are going through and trying to get S tier rankings on everything.
Because even though you can sell all of your bits at any point, and so kind of just buy anything with the just maximum amount of money that you have, and you sell them for purchase value.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to collect them all.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I want every fucking one of them little
I love a video game where
guns.
You can sell your shit back at the same price you bought it for.
That is,
That's, it's like, it doesn't, this game doesn't need to mirror the real world in that way. Thank you. That's the most annoying thing about life. Everything depreciates rapidly the second it leaves the store. Just buy my fucking sword back from me at full price.
It feels a little like something they'd set up in Richie Rich's house to pretend to have a shop there for him,
right,
you know?
Right,
oh, yeah, well, of course, Mr. Rich. Is that his real name? What's his
Richard
name?
Richard Rich.
Yeah, I think so.
What a coincidence.
What do you think? It was a nickname from his parents. He's less rich than them.
I guess so. He'd be twice as rich as them because he's got both of their money combined when they go.
Yeah. No, but they haven't gone yet. He's dependent on
They're
them
still
for
there.
His income.
Could probably have been a nickname from his friends that he bought.
That's what I assumed, that it was some kind of bullying nickname.
His name
was like Johnny Poor.
But yes, you do want to collect them all because you can't go to the parts shop during missions.
No.
Right.
So you want to be able to swap things in and out. Otherwise, you'd have to go back and do maybe some tedious stuff. Although basically none of it is tedious.
Most of the missions are so short as well that you can get up to the point you were stuck on again pretty quick. And also it gives you a chance to test out your new guy.
So a good game.
Good game.
Yeah.
So this is another one that I fucking... Because I remember years ago when you played Ghost Runner.
Yes.
You told me that I would like Ghost Runner. And since then, I've never played it.
It's on PS Plus. It's a free game
I've
at
got
this
it
point.
Sitting in a menu somewhere.
I played the demo for number two. Mm-hmm. And I'll be darned if it's not very similar to one, which is good. It is a first person, like one hit, you die sort of... Mirror's Edge, like traversal combat game. Mm-hmm. You're running through, you have one way or one of several ways to just go through and knock off every enemy in this little arena.
I remember when you and I were both loving Neon White, Adam, thinking like, oh, we should play Ghost Runner because that was like kind of aligned as like, this is basically the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's basically the same thing, except instead of bright and anime, it's dark and cyberpunk.
No.
There are no...
enlarged zumba in breasts.
What kind of cup size are we talking about in Ghost Runner 2?
I don't think they drink water in it. But yeah, it is that. It is like a super like neon lights and the sky's grey and you know, that's the style. You run around, you basically like when you're in the air, you can hold, I think, R1 and it slows down time and you have a little meter that sort of slowly disappears.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
And while when you release it, if you release it before the meter's gone, you have a little dash. So you're basically running along the wall, jumping, holding that down and then being like, oh, well, if I dash towards that guy and hit him with my katana, then I'll be able to like sort of dash forwards and jump on that wall, get to this guy. You've got like one or two little shurikens, which I think everything you have is also like a one-hit kill on your enemies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're essentially sort of lining up the best run through this little maze, and then you've got like someone on your little, you know, little walkie-talkie thing being like, all right, now you've got to go to this area. And you're like, it's a very slim, scant story.
Yep.
It's just
mechanically
real physics
fun.
Really, really fun, cool. Really fluid. You feel like a, you know, like a god smashing down all these little cunnies.
Do you reckon maybe if you didn't play one, just go straight into two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Can't do it.
I know.
It feels very similar. Like I don't remember if it had.
It's like not
like
a story that's carrying
stuff.
On that's like going to be satisfying. It's like they've just tweaked it and refined it a bit from here.
And cool. You're like, you're kind of an anonymous character anyway. So yeah.
Great.
So the demo's out. You can play it on Steam. You can play it on PlayStation or Xbox or whatever.
Cool.
Give it a crack.
Well, I think that's going to do us for this week.
Wow.
Get in and out with the little bit of time. Cause like, It's not next week that Spider-Man and Mario are out and then there's a bunch of stuff, right? It's
next week is Sonic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sonic will be out that before we record next week.
Lords of the Fallen is out on Friday too, and I'm hoping that might be all right.
But yeah, it's the day after next week's episode. We get Mario and we get
it's pretty funny that
Spider-Man.
Like what a year where it's like there's been a week where there's a Pokemon game and an Assassin's Creed game out. Not worth mentioning.
Why
would we talk about them? Nothing else. Nah.
I guess if you are wondering, have like not mind-blowing reviews for either of them. It sounds like Mirage might be fun. It might be a bit of a throwback to the early ones, but I've played the early ones and there's other things to play.
I don't have the time to start an new open world game that I'm not 100% mentally invested in.
Yeah, yeah.
If anyone's looking for something now, though, I want to, again, Chance of Santa's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, cool. That I will have time for. Yeah. And maybe I'll play Mirage in our little Christmas break or something.
I
feel like it might be one of those.
Well, that is us done for this week. May I with your gentleman's permission, quickly plug some tour dates that I have coming up.
Do it, but I'm going to roll my eyes after.
Okay, great. November the 3rd, I'm going to be in Perth doing my show Scam Artist. November the 3rd in Perth at the at Oasis Comedy Club at the Brisbane Hotel. Thursday, November the 23rd, I'm going to be in Sydney at the Lord Gladstone. Again, doing that show, Scam Artist. And then in Melbourne, November the 30th, Thursday, November the 30th, I'm taping that show at Stupid Old Studios. If you saw it in Melbourne, I've changed a bunch of it and it'll look great in that space. So, yeah, please come and check that out. And then that special will be going up on YouTube sometime in the new year. If you're overseas, you'll be able to check it out. But all of that is at tommydasilo.com. Would love to see you there if you're in any of those places. And you can head to filthycasuals.com.au for all of our stuff. We've got the Patreon, an episode of our sister show every week in your inbox where we talk about movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
And everything culturally that isn't video games.
A little tease for tomorrow's episode. I think a certain English footballer might come up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm trying to think of the name. Yeah, one who isn't David Beckham funny as well.
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney? Pele. Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, we'll be going deep on Mickey Rooney.
Yeah. Check all that out. We've also got all of our videos up on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch this episode if you want to.
Video episodes, playthroughs, all sorts of stuff. We just recently had our previews of Mario Wonder and WarioWare Move It, which we got to record in at Nintendo HQ. All sorts of stuff on there. Go check all of that out, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. As we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Forza, I barely... Yeah, and you get what the rest is going to be. Know her.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
God, it's so funny, though.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.